Hi, my name is Harold Horgan, CEO of the York Group. For more than 20 years, we have been working with ISVs to help them develop and implement their business strategies. One of the biggest challenges facing ISVs today is adapting their business model to cloud-based technologies being sold on a subscription basis. We have worked with thousands of ISVs worldwide, giving us a unique insight into the issues you have to deal with. Microsoft has asked me to share our experiences through this series of webinars. There are a total of 11 modules covering almost every aspect of the cloud business model, and combined, they are intended to give you the guidance you need to be successful in the cloud. Finding the right pricing model is something that many ISVs struggle with. With on-premise perpetual licenses, the pricing models are fairly straightforward, typically server-based plus per-user pricing. In the cloud, there are a lot more options, from freemium to pure consumption-based pricing. In this module, I will cover the basics of pricing, the factors that impact the pricing, regardless of what the pricing model is. Freemium is widely used, and I will discuss when this makes sense. I will give you a simple formula for converting the perpetual license fee for your on-premise software to subscription-based, and also look at whether cost-based pricing is the way to go. Finally, I will discuss end-user discounts for SaaS compared to on-premise software. So, what are the basic elements of software pricing, regardless of how it is delivered? Your list price is your list price, and not necessarily what you ultimately get from your clients. Both the price you publish and the price you ultimately charge your clients will be impacted by a number of factors. If you are entering an established market, the existing competitors will be your first benchmark. If there are one or more dominant players, it would not be a good idea to introduce a completely different pricing model unless you have a truly disruptive solution. And with competition, you will likely have to be more aggressive in offering discounts as clients shop around looking for the best deal. The level of services you provide can impact your pricing, because you will be looking at the overall margin you get, not just the revenues from your solution. There are complex solutions that generate services that are 2 to 10 times more than the license, in which case you can be more flexible in the price you end up charging. The technology platform plays a role in pricing. Open source products are often provided free, with revenues coming from services contracts. As we go through the different pricing models for SaaS solutions a bit later, you will see that the technology can play a big role in setting your pricing model. Should you be prepared to offer discounts? In some countries, no one wants to pay the full list price. They expect a discount, so it is not uncommon to factor this into the list price. Some customers in vertical markets are more price sensitive than others. We have seen companies operating with one price list for oil and gas and a different price list for retail. In subscription models, vendors often provide discounts for longer-term contracts or for payment upfront instead of monthly. And is this a long-standing relationship? Repeat business is more profitable than net new business. The point here is that setting your initial list price, as well as understanding what you are willing to accept in a price negotiation, will depend on many factors. Now, let's look at some of the basic principles of pricing. If you are selling your SaaS solution through your website or an app marketplace, you will want to keep it simple. On the slide, you'll see an example of what not to do. Customers expect simplicity. They don't want to spend a lot of time looking at 20 different features and trying to compare the relative value of each little checkmark. If you're working through a channel, you will want to be sensitive to the impact on them, especially if you're going to be offering a SaaS version side-by-side with your on-premise product. Moving to SaaS often involves building or buying a solution for provisioning, metering, and billing. The more your pricing model moves towards a consumption model with a lot of variability based on usage, the more important automation becomes. And as mentioned earlier, there are many more pricing models for cloud applications than there are for on-premise. It really opens the opportunity to be creative and to establish pricing that really aligns with the value you are providing. Pricing models fit into three broad categories: free usage, pricing per some kind of unit of measure, and the payment modality. Free usage has been the foundation for many of the best-known SaaS applications on the market. There are many well-known brands that have built very successful businesses on the freemium model. I'm going to come back to freemium in more detail later in this webinar because it is a business model that needs to be used with some level of caution. But the basic principles of using it are: customers get a free basic version, and the vendor's objective is to get them to upgrade to a paid version. so the freemium version will normally have some limitations, such as the amount of storage or free for one or two users. Freemium is usually a volume-based business, driving huge amounts of traffic to the website, because most of the users won't be paying anything, and even paying users will be relatively small monthly subscriptions, automation is essential, so that the transaction becomes a self-service model. Conversion rates are low, so you need a large addressable market. When you look at the logos on this slide, each one of them has hundreds of millions of potential users. And everything needs to be simple. The value proposition has to be easy to understand, the product has to be easy to install and use, and most importantly, it has to be very simple to convert to the paid version. Ad-based models are different from freemium in that the users get the full function product. Facebook and Yahoo make most of the money from advertisers, companies that want access to millions of users or eyeballs. While Yahoo and Facebook are well known because they address a very large audience, we have also worked with companies that focus on specific verticals. The value to the advertisers comes from this focus. One of the challenges with ad-based models is stickiness. If the offering doesn't provide some unique value, there's nothing to keep users from going elsewhere. Yahoo lost a lot of its users to Google, and Facebook has been losing many of its younger users to Instagram, WhatsApp, and Snapchat. In addition to advertising revenues, there is tremendous value in collecting demographic data. But this is true across many SaaS applications, not just the free use products. Data analytics is a booming market, and many enterprise SaaS vendors are generating significant revenues from this. Another variation of free usage is a related services model. A couple of examples of this are Zynga, which shot to fame with Farmville, and Clash of Clans, a popular mobile phone game. They offer a basic version that you can play for free, and you start paying for add-ons to make the game more interesting or complex. This module usually involves a fairly significant upfront investment because you have to have so many of the add-on features ready to go before you start marketing it. These games are most effectively sold through marketplaces and app stores, which take a share of the revenues for being the distribution fulfillment platform. An important thing to keep in mind with this model is transparency. There have been a number of horror stories of in-app apps that result in enormous phone bills. Users, very often kids, start playing a game and click on options without knowing that each option triggers a new bill. In this business model, you need to make it clear that each new feature incurs additional charges. Pricing per unit of measure is emerging as a common pricing model because it most closely aligns with actual consumption, similar to utility pricing. And there are many ways to establish metrics-based pricing. Backup and storage is a familiar example. Cloud-based systems such as Mozy and Carbonite have tiered pricing tied to the amount of storage you use, while Windows Azure is a pure utility model with pricing based on storage, bandwidth, and other services that are consumed. The more moving parts there are, the more difficult it is to keep the pricing simple, but that should always be the objective. Customers like predictability, knowing how much the services will cost. However, even if the pricing is simple, the billing process can be complex, and many ISVs use third-party metering and billing services, such as Zuora and Matanga. Some solutions lend themselves to per-transaction pricing. DocToData provides online invoice processing and charges based on the number of invoices that go through their system. NeoGrid manages online sourcing and procurement events and charges per event. Now, this is another example of value-based pricing. Customers pay for what they use. If it is a high-volume business such as invoice processing, it can be priced in tiers in which it is usually prepaid with an adjustment if the usage exceeds the tier, or on a pure consumption basis with billing at the end of the month for the exact consumption. On the mobile side, pricing can be per user or per device. Avima is a Canadian company that provides cloud-based mobile expense management solutions, and Ubitex is a German company bought by BlackBerry with an IT services management solution for mobile devices. In both cases, they charge per device. One of the advantages of per device pricing is that the users often have multiple devices. They might have a phone plus a tablet or a phablet. Avima deals with large companies that have thousands or tens of thousands of devices, so they have tiered pricing, while Ubitex charges for the exact number of devices. Then we get into what is the classic SaaS pricing model of per user per month. This is the model used by most SaaS solutions. It is easy to explain, and from a marketing perspective, it creates the impression of low cost. But even if the pricing is per user per month, the length of the contracts and the payment frequency can vary. NetSuite, for example, requires the first year to be paid in full upfront, but they still present it as a per user per month. $499 per user for 25 users sounds better than $150,000 paid upfront. Revenue sharing is another model that is truly value-based. Parallels, for example, has a transaction engine for large marketplaces, while Avangate has an affiliate marketing and e-commerce engine designed for SMBs and mid-sized companies. Neither company charges an upfront fee. They participate in the revenues that are processed through their billing engines, so the pricing is based purely on consumptions. Customers like it because it eliminates the upfront costs, but they will sometimes try to negotiate a cap on the pricing in the event they are a huge success and the volumes result in a monthly payment that they would find hard to swallow. In an example of the more things change, the more they stay the same, there is nothing to prevent you from charging a perpetual license fee for a cloud offering, in the same way you do for your on-premise solutions. Acumatica, which is an Azure-based ERP system, offers its clients both options, while Salesforce will sell perpetual licenses to very large clients on an exception basis. The advantage of this is that it overcomes the total cost of ownership objection. I talked about this in the webinar on selecting the best target markets for your solution. In the enterprise market, there can be a reluctance to pay a subscription forever and ever. If you do offer this as an option, you'll want to bill separately for the infrastructure costs that you incur. This can be a separate bill that you send monthly. Now, I want to come back to the freemium model because it isn't going to be right for every company. The biggest challenge with freemium is that overall it has a very low conversion rate. Companies such as Evernote and Dropbox, which have very sophisticated conversion engines, are at the top end of this range, but it is still only 3%. What this means is that you need to have a very large addressable market to make it work. Evernote and Dropbox can sell their solution to hundreds of millions of prospective users around the world, so it really is a question of volume. But what happens if you are selling an enterprise solution with an addressable market of 100,000 prospects? Let's say that you have been hugely successful with your marketing and drive 20% of all prospects to your website. You get 20,000 visitors. And you do a great job of getting them to sign up for the freemium version. 10% of the visitors subscribe, so you now have 2,000 companies using it. Not bad, huh? Well, if the conversion rate to paid subscribers is 1 to 3%, that means that you have 20 to 60 companies paying for your service. But you're absorbing the infrastructure costs for almost 2,000 non-paying customers. And you spent marketing dollars to get 2,000 subscribers, and that marketing spend has to be amortized over 20 to 60 paying users to calculate your customer acquisition costs. I can pretty much guarantee you that this is not going to be a pretty calculation. I touched on this earlier, but there is sometimes a bit of confusion with regards to freemium and free trials. Freemium is a limited use product for an unlimited duration, while a free trial is a full featured product for a limited duration. Free trials have become a critical element of successful cloud strategies because it makes it easier for your prospects to use your solution and fall in love with it. We always recommend that freemium be used on a selective basis, but free trials should be used whenever possible. A big question for on-premise ISVs that are moving an existing application to a subscription model is how they should price it. I'm going to give you a quick and easy formula that is widely used, but with an important caveat. You need to know what your competitors are doing. Born in the cloud competitors will very often have a much lower pricing structure than this formula will produce. The standard formula is sometimes called the rule of threes. You take the on-premise perpetual license fee, add in 3 years of maintenance, and divide the total by three to give you the annual subscription price. In the case of a $100,000 on-premise license with 20% annual maintenance, that equates to $53,330 per year, or roughly $4,500 per month. Some companies include the hosting costs in the subscription. Some tried to add the hosting costs on top. In either case, from the customer's perspective, it really comes down to a lease versus buy decision, which is one of the reasons SaaS adoption has been slow in the enterprise market. It can be tough for a CFO to justify the decision to go with SaaS. When the CFO does the math, he or she is trying to determine the break-even point. Are they better off paying for subscription or buying the software and depreciating over time? All things being equal, a company with an existing data center will find it more expensive to rent than to buy. Remember the rule of threes we just went through? Well, if the conversion rate for you is 3 years, it means that the payback for the client is 3 years. ERP solutions have a replacement cycle of 8 years on average, so why would a company pay you for 8 years when they can buy it? This is where you start talking about all of the other benefits of going with a SaaS solution, such as ease of deployment, no need to have an IT staff maintaining a solution on the data center, and so on. But these are sunk costs for a lot of companies. The biggest benefit is the scalability of the cloud. If the company has variable workloads or seasonality that require them to have a large data center to handle spikes in computing, moving to the cloud can make a lot of sense. I have been in meetings with a lot of ISVs, from startups to some of the largest companies in the world, and it always surprises me how many of them start the pricing calculation by figuring out what their costs are and then going from there. You have to ask yourself, what do your customers care about? They are looking for value, for business benefits, for commitments made and kept. What is the one thing they couldn't care less about? Your costs and your ROI. What you make on the transaction is of no concern to them. So while I absolutely agree that you need to know what your costs are, you need to start at the other end of the equation when developing your pricing. Determine the value that you bring to your clients and price accordingly. Sometimes that will produce a price that is much higher than cost plus pricing. If you set your value-based price and you can't make money at that level, you have a bigger problem with your core business model. The final topic I want to cover is customer discounts, because they tend to be very different with SaaS than on-premise. While the numbers vary from product to product, across all sectors, the average customer discount for on-premise software is 19 to 23%. The discounts can be even higher if the product generates a lot of services. In SaaS, the average end user discount is 7 to 9%. There is a general acceptance that SaaS is a standard solution offered at a standard price. And if the price is $79 per user per month, prospects don't quibble as much as they would for on-premise. And the discounts are rarely based on the list price for SaaS. They are provided for other reasons. Getting the first reference accounts is a good reason to offer a discount. It is also quite common to offer a discount for committing to a longer-term contract or for making annual payments instead of monthly. Every product and market is different, and there are so many factors that go into setting a price that it is impractical to provide you with a template or worksheet. However, I can leave you with a checklist that will guide you through the issues that will help you determine the best pricing for your solution. First of all, what are the quantifiable benefits for the end user? Is it cost reduction, improved productivity, helping to generate more revenues, or is there something else that you can measure? Are there distinct users, and how do they benefit? Identify the metric that is most closely related to the value being generated. In some cases, it will be the number of users, but it could be devices, the number of documents being processed, volume of transactions, and so on. If there is a market leader with an established price and pricing model, you have to be careful about introducing something different. Is there a freemium play? We talked about the need for a large addressable market, but freemium can also make sense if you have a base module and a lot of add-ons. You could give the base module for free in order to build an install base and make your money from selling the add-ons. Do you want to have a formal discount program for longer-term contracts or upfront payments? If you are a smaller company without a lot of funding, it might be worth a fairly significant discount to accelerate the cash collection. Not all customers are created equal. You might offer better pricing for the first reference accounts or for the first clients in a new market. And finally, can you drive other sources of revenue, such as services or referral fees from cross-selling other products? The greater the potential is for other revenues, the more important it is to build your installed base, which should justify more aggressive pricing. Thank you for taking the time to view this webinar. As mentioned during the introduction, it is part of a series of webinars that Microsoft has put together to help you be successful with your cloud solution. So I would encourage you to view other webinars that cover topics that are relevant to you. You should also feel free to contact me if there are any questions or issues that I can help you with.